This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hi, it's Dave here. This is my wife, Kathy.
Hello.
This is The Cinemile. It's the podcast where we walk home from the movies. And today we're going to go see a movie called The Creator by director Gareth Edwards. And this is a movie we have been looking forward to since 2 days ago when we discovered that it existed.
Suddenly everyone started talking about it.
And I'm like, yeah, this was not on my radar at all. So I'm like, and it's like a sci-fi. It's getting a lot of good buzz. It is... by the guy that made Rogue One, which neither of us liked, but he's a really interesting guy actually. His first film Monsters, which I saw I think around 2010, got a lot of headlines and buzz because he did all the special effects himself in his bedroom.
Wow.
And it was a special effects movie about an apocalyptic world with giant monsters. And he did a really good job on it.
Who needs AI when you have it?
Exactly. So he just jumped onto After Effects or whatever and just did all the special effects. And it also launched the career of Scoot McNairy. And you might be asking, who's Scoot McNairy, Dave?
I am, actually.
Well, he's the guy who was the lead in Monsters.
Okay, thanks, Dave.
And he shows up, you'd recognise him, he's kind of a character actor now.
I mean, it's a great name.
He was in Argo, he shows up in a lot of stuff. So yeah, I kind of rooting for this guy.
What else does he make?
And also the Rogue One behind the scenes stuff, you know, he got kind of taken off that movie towards the end. They brought in Tony Gilroy to kind of, you know, quote unquote, save it. They did a lot of reshoots.
What's the director's name?
Gareth Edwards.
And what else has he made? So Rogue One.
Rogue One, Monsters. He also did the Godzilla remake. One of the ones.
I quite enjoyed that.
In 2014. Yeah, that was quite good.
Yeah.
The one with your man. And
Idris Elba?
No.
What am I thinking of? Skyrim?
We're spiraling. we're in a nosedive.
Wait, what's Skyrim?
Why is
no.
Skyrim is a video game?
Okay,
Idris Elba has nothing to do with it. Where are we?
Okay.
No, yeah, so he's... I didn't like Rogue One, but I think that I have a lot of time for people who have had behind-the-scenes Star Wars director troubles. I'm always on the side of the director.
Same.
Yeah, because they seem like a nightmare to work with. Anyway, but yeah, what do you know about this movie?
Well, I've seen lots of people that I follow this week saying it was very good. People who I trust, so that's a good place to start. And then I have seen pictures of the poster, and I guess it's giving me Ex Machina vibes.
Oh yeah,
I love that movie.
What, is there a robot in it or something? I know nothing about it. I'm so excited.
The cover art looks Ex Machina-esque, I would say. So it definitely looks robot-y and sci-fi-y, which is my vibe.
Robot-y. So your money's on robots.
My money's on like an AI sci-fi,
okay,
robot-y type thing.
Oh, of the minute.
Yeah. Neither of us have watched trailers. We try not to watch trailer for movies we're going to go and see. So
actually, that would make a lot of sense with the title The Creator.
It would, yeah.
So
let's go see The Creator, and when we're back,
I'm saying aliens. I'm just trying to be different to what you said.
Okay, great.
I'm saying time travel alien.
I'm saying a biblical story about maybe Adam and Eve being created by God.
But they're AI.
Yeah.
This is great. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's find out who was right.
Bye.
Bye.
When the war started, they protected me. Took better care of me than humans would have.
They're not people, Maya. It's just programming.
10 years ago today, the artificial intelligence created to protect us detonated a nuclear warhead in Los Angeles. This is a fight for our very existence.
Sergeant Taylor, we are this close to winning the war. But the AI are developing a super weapon. Retrieve it. Or they win.
Hi, we're back. We've seen The Creator. And now we're going to talk about it. But if it's your first time on The Cinemile, well, there's no spoilers. So you can listen spoiler-free until we turn onto Spoiler Street. which naturally has all the spoilers. Mm-hmm. Kathy, what do you think of The Creator? How about when all those aliens came down? So you were right.
Okay, he's messing. There was no aliens.
It's about robots.
I really enjoyed it, actually. It's a very unusual movie in that it's got elements of loads of different types of movies, but I found it really original. It's kind of like a Vietnam War movie mixed with like robotic sci-fi movies. And at certain points, I felt like I was watching like five different films at the same time. But I liked that. I think I need to spend a bit more time thinking about it. I definitely really enjoyed myself.
You have
myself.
No time to think about it.
I really enjoyed myself, and I enjoyed loads of elements of the film. And I really admire when someone is super creative like this filmmaker is, and like wrote, directed, produced the film. And I think there was so many cool ideas. I absolutely love the design of the AI robot people. Was very cool.
There's some great design throughout this
it
whole thing.
It looked amazing.
All the vehicles and the...
The vehicles are amazing.
They look cool.
And then I love that like most of it looked like it was actually shot in real life and not on like green screens.
Yeah.
So I thought it was a very cool looking film. And then I think Denzel Washington's son, John David Washington, is really cool. And it's so funny. I wouldn't guess he was his son, but when you close your eyes and listen, they have the exact same voice.
He's got great eyes.
Great
he?
Eyes. But they don't look that alike. You know the way some kid actors like say Kate Hudson or whatever, and you're like, they're just identical to their parents. But obviously normally people aren't that like their parents. Anyway, and then finally, absolute breakout star of a young kid actor whose name I can't remember. Incredible.
She stole the show.
She completely stole the film. So yeah, all around, I really enjoyed it. And I think I need a bit more time to think about it. And at the very beginning, I was like, oh, I'm so sick of AI. I don't want to watch a movie with AI. And then I got over that and really enjoyed the film. So Dave, what about you?
Yeah, I really liked it. I really admire this. Like you said, I think this. I really admire somebody who's can write and direct a very singular vision that is. Yes, it feels like a mishmash of things we've seen before, but done. It's like a cocktail. Mm-hmm. It's like it tasted brand new. You know, it may have a lot of ingredients I've had and they've tasted well on their own. But this is it. This felt like a pretty new cocktail.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you nailed it. You know, it's this is a Vietnam War. With the classic sort of a man protecting child through a wasteland that we've seen in any post-apocalyptic thing, or The Last of Us, or you know, The Road, or any of it's got that. It's got sort of Terminator 2 maybe vibes to it. You know, it's got the whole classic AI thing, but with a little bit of a twist. What I like is it's kind of meaty as well from a thematic and ethical point of view. Mm-hmm. You know, it makes you think. I think the weakness of this film is that there's kind of too much in it. I think it's trying to do too much. I think it could have used a few fewer locations, fewer scenes. Do you know what I mean? I felt like it was just clipping along when I wanted to slow down every now and then, right?
I did couple of points get a little bit confused as to what was happening on screen.
Yeah, like who's chasing who now, and also like where are they going to. So
I kind of blame myself for that though, and we're both quite tired, and I kind of feel like I'm giving it credit here on second viewing. I think some of that stuff might clear up for us. I mean, I'll never watch it again because I never watch movies again. But if I did, I feel like some of the stuff where I got a little bit confused might clear up for me.
What I would have liked is if this movie slowed down a little bit more and had a few more character moments to really sell the relationship between the two protagonists. Because for the most part, two of them are such good actors.
Yeah, they're brilliant.
That they just sold it no problem.
Mm-hmm.
But I would, and there's a few really sweet moments, but I would have been like, if they just give us a few more, it would have really hammered the whole thing, the characters home a lot more, rather than just having, you know, two more go to a place and then have it destroyed and attacked. You know, there was too many battle scenes in this movie.
There was a lot
and
of battles.
And they're kind of samey. Now, but they are, he
they're
is a really,
cool.
He, they are cool. Yeah. He's an accomplished he's a cool director. He's got, and it, like, the thing I did like about Rogue One was how it looked and all the battle scenes. My issue with that movie was that the characters,
Dave,
I thought were completely weak and flat, but he
no
doesn't have
to
that
to
problem.
Rogue
that,
One. I'm,
can I not compare it to his previous film?
Okay,
that's a totally legitimate point to make. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think, you know, he wrote this with Chris Weitz, but it feels like they, everyone felt human, even the robots.
Mm-hmm.
Probably especially the robots. I think that's the point the movie is trying to make.
Just like Hollywood's working really hard to make us like AI.
Yeah, do you think this is, the studios are like, ooh, commission this.
I think
and
an
maybe
AI
this will end
this.
The writer's strike.
I think an AI wrote it.
Do you think this movie is why the writer's strike ended? Because
absolutely.
The writers were like, we were wrong.
Yeah, absolutely.
The robots deserve our jobs.
It's funny because in every movie where there's like an AI protagonist, and I was obviously thinking of the Haley Joel Osment movie, AI.
Oh, there's vibes of that here.
Yeah,
shades of that. Yeah,
I definitely
for sure.
Thinking of that movie, but like,
that's a good
you
one.
You always end up being sympathetic to the AI. And at the start of this one, I was like, do you know what? I'm sick of AI. It's ruining our day-to-day lives at this point. I am never going to have an ounce of sympathy. And then halfway through the movie, I was like, yeah, I kind
like,
of see
Alfie.
Their point of view. I kind of see their point of view. The AI just wants to live too.
Now, I've got a few things I'd like to say in spoiler street about that. Because I think this movie is occasionally a little simplistic. So let's do that, right? So spoilers now for The Creator.
Which we do both recommend, right?
Oh God, yeah. I think
spoilers,
it's really good,
yeah.
And it looks really good on the big screen.
It looks really good
so
on the big screen.
So go see this movie. It's interesting. It's something new. I'd much rather watch a cocktail of existing ideas than another franchise installment, which I'm kind of we're all getting sick of now. So yeah, this feels it feels quite fresh, and it looks good and is good.
Yeah, and you just like pay attention while you're watching it. Don't drift off because you might lose yourself.
All right, spoilers now for The Creator.
Do you think it's a good title? I don't think the title
no,
works for it.
No, I agree. It doesn't really. I guess it's kind of about her creator, the mother.
Yeah.
And they're both trying to seek her out. I don't know.
I mean, it's a good title. It just doesn't quite work.
Also, come on, Gemma Chan. Poor old Gemma Chan. Typecast once again as an android woman. Or a lover of androids. Get her. She must have got this script and be like, seriously? But also, I'll do it.
Yeah, of course.
But she was doing an Aussie accent in this. Did you notice that? She's
yeah,
she's
know,
British, isn't
yeah,
she?
But you know actors can put on accents that they
what?
Don't have.
What?
But it was a totally unnecessary thing.
Yeah, but it was just like, why? Just have your own voice.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway.
It didn't matter, but at the same time, actors are allowed to put on other accents.
I thought this film started so strong with, you know, it's such
I
a good trend now to do a slightly alternate version of the world where technology, you know, advances. We're thinking For All Mankind, Hello Tomorrow, we were watching on Prime Video recently.
No,
it's got
Apple
shades
TV.
Apple TV, sorry, yeah. And I love that. And I thought it was quite really, I thought the whole opening exposition stuff was done
it
very
was
well.
So good. And it was
fun
like,
and bouncy.
Yada,
and then,
yada, robots are great. And then, poof.
Yeah, and then suddenly, oh, and yeah, and that bomb, that.
Yeah.
And I love this idea. This is a really good setup and world building. Very well thought out what this world would look like where you've got America and New Asia at war with each other over this ethical issue. And
so America's a pain to say it's not at war with New Asian humans, just the AI.
True, yeah, they explicitly say that. But I think this is fascinating because you can kind of see both sides. I think.
I mean, the film was clever because at the beginning I was on the side of the Americans and at the end I was on the side of the new Asians.
Yeah.
So, like, it
well, exactly.
did the job. And but I love then the film, like, you've got all that very cool, I love footage exposition like you do. And then it's, like, straight into a scene that we can't understand. And I also love when films do that. That whole sequence with him and the wife and the beach and this machine in the sky and we're like, what's happening? Like, I just thought that was such
a
good
opener.
It was
interesting.
And I think very cool. And I think we might have undersold it a little bit when we were talking before spoilers. Like, I don't think this film's derivative or anything. I think it's just has loads of things going on at the same time that resemble others. But I do think it's also very original. And I think that whole sequence was just extremely cool with him and the wife and listening to the record and then everyone arriving.
There's a lot of good music cues in
up.
This.
Like, I did not expect the wife to blow up.
No, I mean, look, I think you're right. Look, I think for the most part, for the first half of this film in particular, I felt like anything can happen and I didn't know where it was going to go.
Yeah.
Now, for the second half, I felt, you know, I thought that the beats were quite a little predictable.
I mean, it turned into a Fast and the Furious
It was obvious that she, well, yeah, hanging onto a spaceship at the end. But it was kind of, you know, we both kind of thought, oh yeah, she's probably based off his real child. You called very early on that, whispered to me that, you know, Gemma Chan is the creator, Namita. I mean,
it's just because the film's called The Creator.
Yeah, I know. So. The reveals weren't particularly interesting, and the end played out kind of the whole going, go to Nomad, hijack the thing, plant a bomb, and then, oh no, we're on the other side of two glass doors and must make a sacrifice. I mean, that's all a little pat.
It was, though, just a lot. Like, that was the point where I was like, am I watching a completely different movie? Because I felt like I'd, for ages, I'd been watching a Vietnam War movie. And then,
and by the way, the aesthetic of that was incredibly good.
Yeah,
well done. Yeah,
very well done. Sorry. And then I was suddenly watching, like, legitimately farcical stuff of somebody hanging off the side of a spaceship.
Yeah, it was too much. It was a step too far.
I think once somebody's in a... Even them landing on the cool big machine that I really liked. I thought that was so cool the way it hangs over Earth. When they landed on that, I was like, this is cool.
But
it was when he was... Like, no one just hangs around outside spaceships. Like, it turned into, like, sunshine or something for a minute. But then I thought, am I just being a bit grudger? Because you know what? I'm actually sitting here on a Friday night watching this, and I'm super happy to be watching something where I did not expect... Like, I was not expecting that kind of turn.
Yeah.
So in that sense...
No, but that's my point. I was expecting it. I thought that the
third
act played out...
going, oh, he's going to hang off the side of a spaceship at the end of the film.
Well, no, not the particular detail, but I'm like, oh, so yeah, they're going to go to Nomad and probably blow it up, and then he'll sacrifice himself, and then Gemma Chan will show up for no reason. And I'm just like...
Her consciousness was uploaded.
I know, but it was all very just like forced.
Why,
I don't know. They were like,
have...
oh, wouldn't it be nice if he spent that moment with his wife?
It was love. Why
so
did
just like,
humans
oh,
have him?
They happen... I'm sorry. They happen to be researching AI on that ship. Fine, maybe. Oh, but the one... Like, one that she happens to unzip is her mother's face. I mean...
No, but they were all that model, though.
Maybe. But, like, I mean, what are the chances of anyway. Anyway, look,
but
I'm
no,
nitpicking.
I don't really care, but
I'm saying...
Well, you do care, because you're talking about it. No, I'm saying I think that was deliberate. I think the Americans, like, know the power that AI robot, whatever the hell it is, has, the visuals... And whatever their nefarious plan was, they were making loads of it for some reason. Now, they had said AI was illegal and banned. Obviously, it wasn't, because they were doing it on their own ship anyway. But I think that was intentional. But again, I think the film needed to, like, explain it a little bit to us.
That's what's... Well, no, it didn't. It just... Sorry, you're jumping through hoops to defend the film, and that's okay. But I really just think they were like, oh, we want him to have this resolution with his wife, and then walk a few steps backwards, and it was like, oh, well, maybe they have... a copy of her on space. Why do they have that? I don't know. But like, yeah, fine. I mean, all the things you suggested might be true. What I like is that the film does kind of lean into, you know, American foreign policy throughout history, you know, invading countries to eliminate a supposed threat. You know, see Iraq or Afghanistan or Vietnam, as you said. So it's like... you know, disguised in a greater good, which does look good on paper and looks like a reaction to a horrific attack.
And then the AI are like, ye planted the incorrect code, and that fucked you up.
I wanted to talk about that, because that bit I didn't like. Because I thought it was more interesting, which I thought for the whole movie, like that there was an AI that went rogue and decided to go Skynet and blow up Los Angeles. But and which so I thought the movie was like, that happened, but also that doesn't mean all AIs are bad.
Yeah.
Which is for me, just like human beings, they are some are bad, some are good. They have the capacity to be either. They have the right to exist as a species. It's an intelligence that you created. You can't just destroy it and put it back in the bottle.
But then
that's
doesn't marry
more interesting.
With the bit where the AI said they can't. It's not in their programming.
Then I'm like, but this is the problem. They're like, suddenly it's just like, no, it was a big mistake. We're all perfect. The humans are bad people, and we can't harm humans. And then suddenly, oh, and that's kind of a nice idea. Oh, we can't turn off Gemma Chan we can't euthanize her, so you have to do it because we can't hurt humans. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah,
but
that
wait,
was interesting.
But wait, as soon as you think about it for like 2 seconds, they've been waging a war with each other. So have the machines not been firing a single bullet on humans? Are they unable to kill humans? And also, 2 minutes later, Ken Watanabe throws a bomb on Alison Jennings' back, so he's able to do that.
Well, and also very earlier on in the movie, when they're in the little cabin and there's a translator and the like,
yeah, he says,
AI
I'm going to kill the American
I'm
now.
I'm going to kill the American now.
So,
yeah, so that.
So I'm sorry,
but
I don't
there
understand.
Were some, I think there were some sort of like monk AIs though in the temple.
But that's bullshit.
I know.
Because they're clearly saying no humans, the AIs cannot hurt humans.
I know,
and
that,
you're like,
that stuff
whoa.
Was mixed up. Yeah, that stuff was
so
mixed
I'm like,
up.
You can't really have it all these ways.
What they needed was an AI script editor to go through the script and say, look, there's inconsistencies. Can the AIs harm humans? Because we also saw two examples of AIs like throwing bombs at humans' backs and then the humans blowing up. We definitely know the
yeah,
AI
they
can
do that.
Humans.
Plus, they were trying to kill John David Washington for the whole movie. Like, people were getting killed. Like, yeah. Like they were firing bullets at him. So I'm like,
well, can I say what I really like though?
Yeah.
About the but what also didn't make sense. So you know the way John David Washington was like, I'm going to heaven, which I thought was lovely, and he's like, you know, you taught me like how to be good, and he's like, I love you. So he's like learned how to love AI. Yeah,
it was sweet.
And also his best mate had fallen in love with an AI woman, so he like seemed to be really resonating with him that humans and AIs can love each other. However, when you were deep undercover,
yeah, he spent all that time with all of
that
them
time,
listening to the rhetoric of the woman who, yeah,
exactly.
How did he not come to that conclusion
exactly.
sooner? Exactly.
But is it because he was like such a good undercover cop that like that he would never have turned?
Well, he did see, he very, you know, he came out straight away at the beginning of the movie with, they're not real, that's, you know, that's not a person, it's programming. Like,
I
so
love
he
when
was,
someone repeated the line back to him, it's just programming.
Yeah, there's some good
on.
Writing, there's some nice
yeah,
touches
some
in here.
Yeah, lovely writing. Anyway, yeah. We're just being nitpicky because we love nitpicking sci-fi. I still really enjoyed this
film. Oh yeah,
film.
I agree. I think this is a really, yeah. really good film.
And like, it's actually given us all to talk about as well.
I just,
anything else you want to
I just
say
like,
about
there was, you know what I'm like when you're just like really with something and then you're like, oh, you just lost me for a minute there, and I really wish you hadn't done that.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm just lasering in on that stuff. But it by no means does it break the film. It's mm-hmm. it's a totally good film. I'm just like, I just can see how it would have been better and more interesting if you made the AI, which the movie does for the most part, make them nuanced and interesting mm-hmm. and just like human beings because they're made in our image, literally. And not just make them, oh, we can't hurt humans, you're all the bad guys.
Can we
and
talk?
That, and also that big explosion was your fault.
Can we talk about the economics of it for a minute?
Uh-huh.
So if you're going to make all these AIs that are effectively like humans, right? First of all, like say to speak of a show called Humans in Channel 4 that Gemma Chan was in, there was like an economic reason for that. People would pay for them, right? In this one, it seems like they just populate Asia and are mixed completely with humans. It's like, what, but why?
Well, think
there's plenty of people there. Why do you need a AI with incredibly expensive, presumably synthetic skin? Just have them be robots. Like, I don't understand where the desire to make them really expensive looking humans would come from economically.
Well, they're productive members of society, one.
But why do they have to look
like working in
though?
The civil service? You know,
some of them are just robots.
Well, why do they have to look like that?
That's what I mean. Like, it must be so incredibly expensive to manufacture their, like, flesh and presumably other parts.
Yeah, I don't know.
Some of them were in relationships.
The opening exposition doesn't give you a reason for the creation of these simulants. But I would say the movie doesn't give you a whole lot here, so I'm going to just try and
just
attempt to fill in some gaps. The way I kind of saw it is that New Asia philosophically aligns to these AI being a form of evolution and a different species, and that we need to preserve and protect them and produce them. So if you are the creator of these things, then they feel obligated to continue to procreate them.
But who's paying for them though? Like, I couldn't figure it out because they all seemed to be really poor.
It looks like, from the state of those cities, that this was a really functioning economy. Right?
Like,
New Asia seemed like it was doing pretty well.
Like, most
except
places
for
are
all
overpopulated,
the bombs.
Like, nobody needs, like, mass production of humans at this day and age in a city.
No, but Cathy, they've got lunar colonies, which we only find out in the last 10
minutes. Yeah, I enjoyed that. Like, it's like, wait, what? Why are they going to the moon?
As soon as you've got lunar colonies, then everything is great.
I couldn't figure
out
the economics of it, because then some of them were just robot looking, and they seem to have like the same, I felt bad for those ones because they seem to have the same brains as the other ones, but they're just like big lumbering robots where the other ones get to have these incredible
more primitive
holes through their heads.
I liked the guy who was, you know, there was like one of those primitive designs, but he was like part of the militia. You know, he was kind of cool. Oh, and then he sacrifices himself, you know. That was so cool when that giant tank was like targeting them with the blue lasers. And it, you know, around the circle around
that was
you,
amazing,
and there was no way to escape it. And then he sacrificed himself, that robot, to protect those children.
Yeah, that was lovely.
You know, there's some great little tiny little moments in this.
Fantastic.
All the
kid
war
acting.
Stuff is very well done. Like, he knows how to do that, and but he did it very well on Rogue One, and he did it again here.
We need to talk about Alfie though.
Oh, she stole the
show. She didn't get enough screen time. Oh God, Alfie was robbed.
She's such a good actor, and
she
it's her
both
first
robbed screen time and was robbed. Yeah. Like, at the very end, we finally got to see the kind of full force of her emotion in her face when she turned from like crying and smiling.
So she's,
and it was stunning.
So good at crying.
Yeah, she was incredible. So I wish I'd seen more of their interaction. And I think, to your point on their you feeling like there wasn't enough moments, I kind of felt like they went from him hating her to him loving her, and I don't feel that it was
too
like
quickly
earned.
Yes, this is what I mean.
Except they did say, in fairness, your own embryo was scanned to make her, which would turn you pretty quick.
But I would have much
seemed into
preferred
her before that, though.
But I would have much preferred, like, now The Last of Us is an unfair comparison because you've 10 episodes
though
there,
I think one of the guys in this game was in The Last of Us, but I need to confirm
maybe
this.
But you know, most of that show is like actually just them on the road and slowly kind of like the ice thawing.
Yeah, these guys had two conversations that resonated. One, which was the like
in the truck
you switched off, or what was that thing where they were saying?
Oh, I love that. No, when he puts the hat on her, I thought was a really touching moment.
But where did the hat come from?
And she goes off, when the guy dies in the back.
But they've two recurring themes. One is the off on thing.
Yeah.
And one is
just
the heaven
clever
thing.
Yeah.
And they're both lovely, but
and they have
like
a nice scene on the bus and she lies on his shoulder.
But that was when the heaven thing originated, though.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. They have only two meaningful conversations, and then they just got repeated enough for us to like resonate with them.
But that's exactly my point from earlier. Like, take out two action scenes from this movie and give us them eating food in an alley and having conversations. Mm-hmm. And that's all you need to do to just sell that ending even more.
Back to my
and also
point
don't
on
make the ending on a giant blowing up a giant spaceship.
And back to my point on sentience being completely economically unviable. They also seem to need to eat.
Yeah, what's that about?
And like, why would they have colons?
When your one was offering her ice cream, I was like, where's it going to go?
It doesn't make any sense. Like, they have innards. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
why produce these things so that they require more fucking resource to be like,
they are stripping the earth of resources, right? Because
exactly.
They have to be either like,
you gotta produce
up
more food.
You need like solar panels or like wind energy to like charge them sustainably. It's a nonsensical thing. And even though through the film, of course I cared about Alfie and I was like, oh, don't kill Alfie, I am still like, no, I don't think we should live in a planet where robots suck up our resources and eat our ice cream. It makes no sense to me.
Yeah, but this is the thing. Nobody makes these decisions and questions whether you should do these things ahead of time. We're living in the world right now where it's out of the box. Someone just does it. Then someone else does it. Then someone profits on it. And suddenly the whole thing is just accelerating.
Yeah.
And we are on the train now, and governance is trying to like catch up with it.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, I mean, we're 20 years into social media and they still haven't gotten the reins on that.
Well, a Meta right in the middle of feeding its own algorithm using authors' books that they stole and didn't pay for.
Yeah.
So, but I don't think anyone would physically build a thing, though. That's the bit that made me laugh.
There's people
at the
doing it right now. Boston Dynamics have robots that are jumping around and doing stuff.
Yeah, but
you
who
just match
wants
that
it in
with
their house, like? Nobody.
Well, just you wait.
Maybe Elon Musk wants it in his house. And then the other thing that made me laugh at the very beginning when they show, like, ooh, these are all the things robots can do. Robots will drive your car for you. And it's like a robot driving someone's car. And it's like, wouldn't you just make a self-driving car? Why would you build a robot to drive a car?
Because they're already building robots.
It makes no sense.
In this world, they're like, yeah, we've got robots. What could they do?
Anyway, do you know what? I love every idea explored in this, and I'm really glad we watched it. And someday I'll watch it again.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun. It's fun to pick some holes in the thing, but you're right. I really admire this film. I think it's really good on the whole.
And really good
it's
cast.
It's not perfect, but few things are. And big swing for the fences, and I think he really succeeded here. And I'm really happy for him as a filmmaker, because I often feel bad for him about his, I often think about his experience on Rogue One. You imagine getting that opportunity, coming from like this great high of like making a movie in your bedroom, and then you get given a Star Wars movie, and then to, you know, but it's very popular, but like to have it just kind of stripped away from you at the end, and then have Tony Gilroy kind of secretly say, you know, I did most of the work on that or whatever.
I think I'm presuming it's a completely different experience in this instance to be the writer, director and producer.
This is his vision, and I feel like the studios kind of just let him do his thing.
And I feel bad for him as well with the way the actor strikes have been, because obviously there's one of the reasons we haven't heard of it is that there's not been any promotion for movies. So everything's coming out with an absolute whimper. Like, we'd have seen interviews and read interviews about
it,
you know, virally being sent to us because we get advertised that stuff all the time. Anyway, thank you everyone for listening. Let us know what you thought, if you enjoyed it. Come over to patreon.com/thecinema, where we are watching a sci-fi movie. We have watched it, and we'll be reposting Event Horizon.
I gave six movies I'd be happy to watch for my birthday, which was this week, on our Patreon. I did not think they'd pick Event Horizon of those six.
And I have to say, having watched
like
Event
over
Horizon,
the Big Lebowski and Ghostbusters and Evil Dead 2, I'm amazed people picked Event Horizon over Evil Dead 2.
Having watched Event Horizon right before this movie, I can say this movie is 1 million times better than Event Horizon. Roughly.
Well, that's not a really fair comparison.
It really is.
Event Horizon's got its own, doing its own
thing. It is
thing,
a fair comparison.
And it's a bit of fun.
Anyway, come over to patreon.com/thecinema.
Yes.
Or come over to Instagram.
And you can hear that.
Hear us talking about that. Or come over to Instagram or Letterboxd.
Or email us.
Blueski.
You can email. Stop on about Blueski. No one's coming to Blueski.
People have followed us there.
And it's definitely called Blueski.
I just forget to write on it. We never post on it.
Oh yeah, come over to Blueski or Blueski, and Kathy may occasionally write something every few months.
We also have invite codes if anyone wants them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are they funding you?
No.
You're such a Blueski shill.
I wish they were. If they were funding me, they would tell me how to correctly pronounce it. But anyway, come over, say hi, and thecinemile@gmail.com. And most importantly, what we'd love you to do is just leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, wherever you listen.
It's a nice thing to do. Mm-hmm. And thank you for listening.
Bye.
Bye.